Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Zevachim Daf Kuf Yud Dalet, Zevachim 114. Back in the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, our Mishnah had been discussing those animals which, if they're slaughtered outside of the courtyard of the temple, one is not liable for Shlitas Bechutz or Mala Bechutz, for slaughtering an animal outside the courtyard, a sacred animal. So our Mishnah had been giving exceptions to this rule, and some of those exceptions are Haroveya Va'Nirba, that if one slaughters an animal that was engaged in a sexual act in either the active or the passive fashion with a human being, one is not going to be liable for that, because it states in the verse in Leviticus chapter 17 verse 4, Lakriv Korban LaHashem Lifnei Mishkan HaShem, that if one slaughters an animal to bring as a sacrificial offering, that's when this prohibition against sacrificing outside of the courtyard of the temple takes place. But with respect to these animals, they cannot be brought as an offering, and so therefore the prohibition does not take place. The Gemara first asked the question, why don't we learn out the concept that a Roveya Nirba are exempt from this prohibition from a different verse? Va'nami Typically, petach omoed. Why don't we learn it out from the fact that there's a verse that they cannot be brought to the petach omoed. They were not allowed to be brought to the entrance of the tent. So the Gemara says, let's clarify this question. Bishlama, it makes sense to me that a roveya nirba, that with respect to these types of animals that were engaged in the sexual act with a human being, we understand why we do not learn them out from the concept of al petach omohed lo evio, because it's possible, mishkachasle, it's possible to imagine a scenario where they were ro'oi, they were appropriate to be brought to the omohed. For example, the Akdishinu Meikar, that they were initially sanctified, the Hadaravo, and then they engage in the sexual act. So therefore, at one point, they were roi to go to the Ol Moed, and then, after that, they became disqualified. So that's why we need to derive it from the verse that they're no longer able to serve as a korban, even though they were at one point able to be brought to the entrance to the Ol Moed, because they were at one point eligible. El Muktzav Nevad, what about two other categories which our Mishnah discusses? An animal that was set aside for idolatry, or actually worshipped as idolatry. Why can't we derive the source for those laws from the fact that from the verse Al Petach Omoed Lo Evio? Because it's impossible for us to imagine a scenario where after they were first roi to be brought to the temple, sanctified as a temple, and then they became disqualified because they were worshipped as idolatry. Because once they were designated to the temple, they can no longer be disqualified for worship as idolatry, because we have a basic concept, says our Talmud, Ein Adam Oser Davar She, because a person is not able to prohibit something that's not his. And so therefore, if after a person designated these animals to the temple, they would no longer be able to disqualify them by worshiping them for idolatry. And so therefore, the appropriate verse to cite in that case would be the verse of El Petach Omoed Lo Evio. So Gemara says, no, we can imagine a scenario where even after they're designated for the temple, we still can disqualify them under idolatry, and that is basically through Kodshim Kalam. We, as we've discussed many times, there are two types of sacrifices, the holiest sacrifices, where the Kohen is the only one who gets to eat it. That's called Kodshei Kodshim. And then there's the lesser holy sacrifices where even the owner of the animal gets to eat a portion of it. That's called Kodshei Kalam. And so Aliba de Rabbi Yossi Aglu, Rabbi Yossi Aglu is of the position, the Amar Kodshei Kalam Mamun Balamu. He's of the position that Kodshim Kalam is indeed still owned by the owner of the animal, even though it's been designated to the temple. So we can have a situation where it was initially brought to the Ol Moed, then it was worshipped for idolatry by the owner. And so therefore, under those circumstances, the owner can make it prohibited to be brought as a korban. And so therefore the appropriate verse to cite is not the verse Al Petach Omoed Lo Evio, but the initial verse, which is Lakriv Korban LaHashem Lifnei Mishkan HaShem, that it's no longer eligible to be brought as an offering. But we see from this point that our Mishnah is saying that there is a position, and this is the regnant position, that Ein Adam Ozer Davar She'eino Shelo, that a person is not able to prohibit something that does not belong to him. And indeed, the Rambam writes this way, and the Rambam rules this way in Hilchos Koyim, chapter 5, Mishnah Halacha 8, and the Shulchan Aruch rules this way in Yerodea Simon Reish Tzadi Vav, that Ein Adam Oser Davar She'eino Shelo. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses this in Aruch Chaim Simon Kuf Samach Sif Beis with respect to water. We know that there's the limitation on the type of water that we can use for Netilas Yadayim, for washing our hands before we eat bread or for washing our hands in the morning when we arise, that you're not allowed to use water that bread had been soaked in, it that had been used for a purpose, that had been used for work. And so therefore the Mishnah Berurah explains the reason is that when a person uses his water that he has a need for it, the water is become like water was spilled out and standing there, and so therefore such water is not appropriate to be used for the sacred purpose of washing one's hands. So the Birkei Yosef writes in the name of Maran Nachum that if let's say we have two people, Reuven comes along and soaks his bread in the water of Shimon, that under those circumstances we could say that if you say that a person is able to prohibit something that's not belonged to him, that Reuven has disqualified Shimon from using his own water for Netilas Yadayim. Because a person can, but if we adopt the position of our Gemara that a person cannot prohibit something from that doesn't belong to him, and so therefore Reuven would not be able to prohibit Shimon from using his water for Netilas Yadayim. Even though that's the position of the Birkei Yosef, the Chazon Ish argues with that, and the Chazon Ish says no, that this is not the same scenario, because we know, for example, that if an animal comes along and drinks from somebody else's water, that water becomes prohibited to use for Netilas Yadayim. And so we see it's not that with respect to Netilas Yadayim, the controlling factor is not the intent of the person who does it, but it's actually the action alone. And so therefore, even though somebody else can come along and use your water, they have desanctified that water, and they've taken that water and said it's no longer be able to be used for Netilas Yadayim. And so it's not, the concept of Ein Ademos or Devar Shein Shlo does not apply to the question of whether or not one can wash their hands with their water, and so therefore one person is able to disqualify the water of even another person.